Every August, the sprawling Plaza Classic Film Festival delights area movie lovers with 10 days of classic and contemporary films in and around the historic Plaza Theater in downtown El Paso. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. This year's 12th annual Plaza Classic Film Festival will run from August 1st to the 11th, and tickets went on sale this week. Joining me to discuss this year's festival is the El Paso Community Foundation's Program Director, Doug Pullen. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
You taking a little brief sigh, right? Because everything's locked. The schedule is set in stone.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I know you've got to ramp up your activity again because there's a lot of last-minute planning to do around the festival.
So. Yeah, definitely. And, well, you know, there's all these things that are getting printed and a program and website that has to be maintained and you name it. There's not a lot of sleep this time of year.
Right. But you're on the glide path now. And everybody can see what the schedule is, start making their plans. 12th annual, does it get any easier?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that, you know, having done it a few times, I have a little bit more of a understanding of how to do it and a rhythm, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. The harder part is really by nature of the position I'm in, it's not the only thing I do. So when I'm doing these other things, that cuts into the time. So a lot of the grunt work gets done really on my own time at home when I can sit there and follow those whims and research for 2 hours. And
like I count a little over 80 films this year.
Yeah, I think it's technically
track all those down.
Yeah, 89 plus the local flavor.
Right.
And there's a possibility of not an addition, but there may be a rollover of a second show of one of the movies. But yeah, I mean, you know, you book 90 of them, and you probably start with 400 to 500 ideas and whittle it down. This particular year, one of the main threads is space exploration, and that's been kicking around in my head for at least 2 years, knowing that the anniversary of the lunar landing was coming.
July 20th.
And being a kid of that, you know, I was 11 or 12 when we landed on the moon, and, you know, I was going to be a baseball player and an astronaut at that point. And,
right.
So it had been there for a while, and when we came out of the last festival, there's a period where you kind of collapse, and so during that period, I watched 2001 and Apollo 13 and The Right Stuff and For All Mankind and two or three others, Capricorn 1.
All films that are in this year's
festival. In this year, yeah. And they were, I tend to have lists going a year, 2 years out. So there's a 2020 list and a 2021. So these were things that I'd either seen and known, or in the case of Apollo 13, thought I had seen and I had not.
Hmm.
And I didn't realize that until I was watching it. But yeah, they all made it in. And there's others like Forbidden Planet to me represent kind of a view of space exploration before we'd actually started.
Yeah, which is part of what the cinema is. It lets us dream about things that we don't know how to do yet.
Yeah. And, you know, it had some influence on Star Trek, right?
Right.
And Lost in Space.
And I know you're going all the way back. I think Jay Duncan is doing a program of Georges Méliès early films like A Trip to the Moon.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, Trip to the Moon is in there twice. The opening day, August 1st, we've been doing this thing the last few years where Walt Stroni accompanies some silent shorts. So we're showing a 35 millimeter print of that. And he'll accompany that along with Laurel and Hardy's Battle of the Century and Charlie Chase's Crazy Like a Fox. Then a few days later on the Monday of the film festival, Jay is going to recreate a program he did in 2011, I believe.
Yep. Different. I remember it well.
Different clips, yeah. And I did a story about it.
Very important French early silent filmmaker that did a lot of trick photography and really the godfather of special effects.
Yeah, innovator, obviously. And so I thought it would be a good way to have that film in there, but also kind of take it a little further. We talked about whether he would maybe do a new version, but he requested doing what he did before. A
lot of heavy hitters in this year's schedule. You want to just run us down some of the spotlights of significant works of classic cinema?
I mean, there's some that are kind of obvious. We're bringing back The Wizard of Oz in part two. Kind of have a little nod to 1939, and it's
big
not a big
anniversary year.
Yeah, not a big thread, but that one, Beau Geste and The Hunchback of Notre Dame, are all there to kind of represent that year. There's a bigger thread, kind of looking at 1969, that's kind of pivots off of the lunar landing anniversary. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of movies, Easy Rider, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, to kind of show representations, if you will, in the anti-hero.
Another big turning point in Hollywood history.
Yeah.
69.
And I saw it as kind of a rise of the anti-hero. And then Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, to kind of show the sexual revolution and kind of how it was being viewed, at least in one example. And, you know, we get a little silly with it, too, like showing Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me. He has to travel back to 1969, and then he confronts Dr. Evil on his moon base.
Was there sort of a rebalancing this year of classics versus contemporary films? I know that's always
some
in the background is deciding how much of one and how much of the other.
Yeah, and it's, you know, every year it's a little different. But, you know, last year we did more of a border heavy thing, and so some of the movies were newer, and I remember one guy saying, I see that you've abandoned the classics. I thought, well, no, not really, but so this year there was, you know, I told people the ideas, you know, every year is a little different, but mm-hmm. we try to be true, try to be consistent with it. But are there newer movies in there? Yeah, and I'll always dabble with stuff like that, but La La Land's in there for a lot of reasons.
Which is your closing film of the festival on the 11th.
Closes us out. And, you know, my thinking was, here's this movie that's an homage to classic Hollywood musicals. So why not connect it to some of the musicals that informed it? I would have done, you know, An American in Paris and Singing in the Rain, but we just showed them 2 years ago. So we go a little deeper, like On the Town, Top Hat, The Young Girls of Rochefort. And
A Star is Born.
Yeah, A Star is Born is in there.
Not the recent version.
No.
The Judy Garland version.
No, the Judy Garland version. And there's a lot more musicals this year, in part to kind of go mm-hmm. back to that, because we got away from that last year. And I try to tell people, you know, it's kind of 1 year at a time. It's not, hey, we're just abandoning musicals or something. So there's about 14 or 15 this year. My Fair Lady is in there after 3 to 4 years of trying to get that one.
And you mentioned The Young Girls of Rochefort, a number of classic international films as well. So you still have a smattering of foreign language titles.
Yeah,
I
there's
saw
no
the Polish film.
Yeah, Canal. There's Canal is in there, a Bajda movie, and
Sombra Verde.
Sombra Verde, film. Yeah. Viviana brought that to the mix, and Viviana Garcia Bisnay, and
that was an important Mexican film with Ricardo Montalban.
It's really good. And, you know, I mentioned it to people and they don't know it. So I put it in a matinee slot on a Saturday to see if maybe more people could go see it. It's really well done. Has interesting comments about, you know, man versus nature and so on.
You have a big opportunity every year to slide in a few personal favorites. You have something that you're just particularly looking forward to seeing?
Well, there's just little things, like one of the contemporary films is Apollo 11, the documentary, which I thought was a really great, absorbing movie. It's only 90 minutes long, and they've taken all this archival footage and audio and ramped it up to 4K and 70 millimeter and IMAX. And, you know, so when I first watched it, I saw it on a laptop, you know, I thought, this needs to be seen on that big screen. And it's in a matinee slot on a Sunday.
I'm glad it's there because it's one of the best films of the year, I think.
It's
and
good.
It's thrilling and engaging. I saw it in L.A. a few months back and on a big screen.
On a big screen,
right,
yeah.
It's just going to blow people's minds.
Yeah, and there's movies like that deserve to be on the big screen. They don't always wind up there.
Big screens and big guests, too. You have some. Yeah. We should talk about that briefly because you've announced a number of special guests for this year's festival.
Yeah. The biggie being that Sam Elliott is coming back. He was here last year with an indie film. I teased him then about, you know, we're going to invite you back, because a lot of the audience was saying, gee, I wish we could have seen him earlier in the day. And so we just kept the dialogue going, and we wanted him to come back with his wife, Catherine Ross. So they're going to be here the first weekend. And they're appearing with Butch Cassidy, which, of course, she starred in, and he gets killed in very early. And The Legacy, which is the movie where they really met and really fell in love. And they chose that one.
A film that a lot of people probably have never seen.
Never seen, so never heard of.
It's always nice to expose an audience to something new.
Yeah, and I've mentioned to a few people, the guy who directed that went on to direct Return of the Jedi. And Victoria Riskin, the daughter of Faye Ray, and Robert Riskin, the screenwriter, will be here. She's got a really good book about her parents out she's going to help introduce a couple of their movies, and she'll do an interview.
A little thing called King Kong.
Yeah, a little thing called King Kong. Yeah, she'll do a sit-down interview for that, and then she's going to help introduce The Wedding March. It's a new restoration, and You Can't Take It With You, and then she'll do a book signing. And then the second weekend, Kathleen Quinlan will be here, and she'll appear with Apollo 13 on Friday, August 9, and then on Saturday she's appearing with a movie called Clara's Heart, which the screenplay was written by Mark Medoff, and we're doing a tribute to Medoff in this festival. We're showing three of the movies he wrote, and she'll talk about that, and she'll be interviewed by Ross Marks, who is Mark's son-in-law.
We mentioned him earlier, but I certainly put him in this special category of special guest, Walt Stroni, who often comes to the festival, fantastic organist, accompanies some of the silent films that you're showing. You know, to see a silent film in a classic historic movie palace like the Plaza Theater with live organ accompaniment is really something if people have not seen a silent film.
No, I agree. And it's, you know, it's a tradition you started, and I felt, you know, compelled to keep going. And I talked to him about what he'd like to accompany and blah, blah, blah. And we go back and forth. And this is one he's been wanting to do. He's done it a lot of times, but he's never done it in the Plaza Theater.
The King of Kings.
The King of Kings. Yeah. Sorry, I'm so deep in now.
And the early silent version.
Yeah. Yeah, 1927, Cecil B. DeMille. And
quite good, actually.
Yeah, and this is the shorter, the 112-minute version. And I asked him why he chose that one. He said it's too emotional.
Well, it's hard to play the organ
for 3 hours.
It
was going to be too long, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but he said too emotional. So he's doing that. He's doing those silent shorts. And then he's also going to do the warm-up, if you will, for Some Like It Hot, which is the opening night movie, 60th anniversary.
Fantastic.
And he's also going to open up for Mary Poppins on Saturday, August 3.
Mm-hmm. Big films, lots going on. You still have a number of screens outside the Plaza Theater. You're engaging, I know, at the Art Museum and the library, but one of the most popular are the free outdoor screenings. Those continue this year?
Oh, yeah. We have Rocky Horror back for the 11th year on Saturday, August 3, and we'll open with the Blues Brothers on August 2, and the second weekend will be Grease and Dirty Dancing.
Well, fantastic. Another fulsome list of classic films. I'm looking over it now. People can go to the website and download it, start mapping out.
You can print it.
plan their August. I hope everything goes smoothly the next few weeks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for coming in, Doug.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
My guest today has been the program director of the Plaza Classic Film Festival, Doug Pullen. The 12th annual Plaza Classic Film Festival will run from August 1st to the 11th in and around the historic Plaza Theater in downtown El Paso. Tickets went on sale this week for more than 80 films, almost 90, and you can purchase tickets at the Plaza Theater box office or online through Ticketmaster. Festival passes are also on sale for $200 directly through the El Paso Community Foundation via the festival's website or by phoning 533-4020. For a complete list of the festival's films, events, and special guests, log on to plazaclassic.com. A final program note, if you can't wait until August for a great classic film, the Film Salon will present the 1936 musical Swing Time, starring Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, this evening at 7:30 p.m. at Alamo Drafthouse. Tickets are just $5 and available at Alamo's box office or website. On Film's engineer is Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.